The land of the free and home of the brave is under siege.
Is there any hope for our nation, or have we passed the point of no return? Is our fate sealed? Are we destined for destruction? Or could there be a spiritual revival that would turn the hearts of our people back to God?
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jen Markell, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today we visit with a radio favorite, Michelle Bachman. Last week, we saw turmoil in the land. Our nation's capital was ground zero for an experience that some are saying was domestic terrorism. Our guest, Michelle Bachman, was on the scene and reports the facts today. Here is today's programming.
My entire life, I have lived with and next to people who came to America because their country was chaotic and their country was unsafe. What I saw today, what we have seen, looks more like those countries than the extraordinary nation that I am privileged to call home. I think about the mockery that it makes of our country. A lot of people, China. No, let me just say something in all modesty. No one here has worked harder on the issue of China. They hate my guts. I'm sanctioned, twice sanctioned. I don't know what they're sanctioning, double sanctioned, and I can't travel there. I wasn't planning to anyway. China's laughing. They're loving this tonight. In Beijing, they're high-fiving because they point to this and say, this is proof the future belongs to China, America's in decline. Vladimir Putin, there's nothing Vladimir Putin could have come up with better than what happened here. Makes us look like we're in total chaos and collapse. Not to mention the Ayatollah, who's probably bragging, if he has buddies, to his buddies, look what's happening to the great Satan. I think politics has made us crazy. Everybody in this country has lost their minds on politics. And we have forgotten that America is not a government. America is not a president. America is not a Congress. Let me tell you what America is. America is your family. America is your faith. America is your community. That's America. That's what our adversaries don't understand, and that's what we need to remember. That is how we're going to rebuild this country and turn the page and have a future even brighter than our past.
I'm so glad you can join me today for Understanding the Times Radio. And I said at the end of 2020, that year was likely the calm before the storm. Here we are early in the new year, and roughly 10 days ago or so, we had a tragedy in Washington, D.C., and the eyes of the entire world were watching, as Marco Rubio was referring to there. They saw what appeared to be a third world country, not the most powerful nation on the planet. So many Americans felt disenfranchised. They saw us losing the republic to corruption. Hundreds of thousands, perhaps a million Americans, wanted their voices heard in Washington, D.C. back on January the 6th. They wanted to let our politicians, who generally ignore them, know that we're watching them. It didn't help that the 117th Congress was opened on January 3rd with a prayer by apparently, United Methodist minister Emanuel Cleaver. He was clearly attempting to be, well, I would say inclusive and politically correct, because he addressed his prayer to any and all gods and ended by saying, quote, "We pray in the name of the monotheistic god Brahma, a god known by many names and by many different faiths. Amen and a woman." Let's play that 60-second clip.
Local Congressman Emanuel Cleaver is drawing national attention for a prayer. KCTV5's Leslie Aguilar spoke to Cleaver about the phrase that upset some people.
Right now, the House of Representatives is the most diverse it's ever been, with the highest number of women as members. Congressman Cleaver says he was just trying to pay tribute to that fact, but a lot of people didn't see it that way.
The prayer Congressman Emanuel Cleaver said to welcome the 117th Congress yesterday was 2.5 minutes long. But it was the last few seconds that raised some eyebrows.
A man and a woman.
Social media lit up with criticism. Donald Trump Jr. saying amen means so be it in Latin. It isn't a gendered word, but that didn't stop them from being insane. Newt Gingrich saying the radical madness has begun. And a Republican representative from Pennsylvania tweeting, unfortunately, facts are irrelevant to progressives. Congressman Cleaver says his "a woman" line was just a lighthearted pun.
Starting out the new year in a new Congress in this manner was only begging for a reply, I think, from an angry God. We had quite an ordeal back on January the 6th, and someone very familiar to my audience was present that day. And we're going to bring on Michelle Bachman here, and she actually has a new assignment in life, and we'll get to that a little bit later in the hour. But Michelle was present in Congress that day as a visitor because Michelle stepped down from Congress January 2015, I believe it was, and has gone on to do other things and now has a new assignment. Michelle, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jan, for having me on.
Things started out well, and you and I have talked about it, and actually the day of January 5th and 6th, as you said to me, it was bathed in prayer both days. Things started out well. They ended horrific. Eyewitnesses said that there may have been many, many agitators, but you were present. Talk to us a little bit about why you were there, where you were, and what you saw.
I was there as a prayer warrior. I was not there as a political person. I had been asked to come and speak as a political person at numerous events and be a part of various functions, but I went as a prayer warrior together with other intercessors. And what that means is we went up to pray, speak peace, and we were there on Tuesday, and a great number of people there, multiple different prayer meetings. We were praying all day Tuesday, and we got up at 7 o'clock in the morning on the 6th, the day of the events, and we had a platform and a permit. And we had microphones, and we had worshipers, we had musicians, we were worshiping the Lord, and we were praying as well. I want your listeners to know that this day had been bathed in prayer, and even as the events were unfolding of people storming the Capitol, the prayer people were facing the Capitol, arms outstretched, praying peace in real time, even as the events were happening.
Things didn't stay peaceful very long. You were actually in the Capitol, and you slipped into a prayer room, and you were praying, and you eventually were communicating with Mr. McCarthy. Things were going to fall apart very rapidly, but I think as things were falling apart, a lot of people didn't know they were falling apart, and I don't even know if you knew they were.
No, I had no idea. I had been outside praying, but I had the intention of wanting to go in the Capitol. And I wanted to go in for the purpose of speaking to members of Congress and praying. I have privileges to go in. I had my former member card with me, and I went to the floor. The Capitol is completely restricted now because of COVID. They had very few members on the floor of the House of Representatives. So they had some members sitting up in the gallery. I was not allowed to sit up in the gallery because I'm a former member. No one was allowed in. So I spent some time over by Speaker McCarthy's office. I had said hello to him. And I spoke with a number of Republican members of Congress. Then I decided once I couldn't get into the chamber for the purpose of prayer that I would go to the George Washington Prayer Chapel, which is right by Speaker Pelosi's office, and it's also just off the rotunda of the Capitol. So I went there. I was praying for a bit. I had a scheduled meeting with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So I decided I would leave the prayer chapel. This was somewhere between 2 and 2:30 p.m. and try and make that meeting with Secretary of State Pompeo. And then I would come back and pray again inside the Capitol as the day's events wore on. As it worked out, it was minutes after I left and walked through the rotunda to get out of the Capitol that the uninvited intruders came into the Capitol. I'm thankful I left when I did because I avoided all of that.
You called some of these folks agitators. Their purpose was to cause death and destruction. Now, let's clarify quickly here, because as you and I talked privately, you described to me those that were present for the Trump rally, and they were good people. Many were godly people. Some were carrying banners or signs. Some were carrying Bible verses, quite frankly. Others were carrying flags. In other words, these were not people who came to cause any kind of consternation or dissension. It was the furthest thing from their mind. And all of a sudden, things started to spiral from very much in control to a little bit more out of control to totally out of control. And you said to me, some of these very good people who had no intention of any kind of rabble-rousing got caught up in some of the destruction almost naively and innocently. Explain that.
Yeah, these activities we've seen before in communist countries, certainly they've been carried out in a coup. And what a coup is, it's an unlawful, hostile takeover of a government. These are planned events. This appeared to me that that's what was going on. I don't have evidence. I'm not declaring that that's what happened. But that's what this appeared to be because I've been at many pro-Trump events. They are the nicest people
sure.
you'd ever meet. Most of them are believers, not all, but many of them are believers. That's all I saw for 2 days, were the nicest, happiest people, greeting each other, impromptu prayer meetings springing up. Mm-hmm. Despite the question of votes not being counted accurately, there hasn't been one riot. There hasn't been one negative event since November, and this certainly was not a negative event. There were nearly a million people mm-hmm. in Washington, D.C., for this pro-Trump event on January 6th, people were happy. After President Trump's speech, there weren't angry speeches even being given. The momentum actually was extremely positive in the air. Members of Congress would walk by, like Senator Josh Hawley. Mm-hmm. They were given standing ovations, and the crowds were cheering them. This was not negative. There's no swearing, no right. jeering. Very positive. It's completely incomprehensible that you would have had this negative disruption happen from this happy crowd. When the breach apparently occurred, I was trying to get out of the Capitol because I was going to go for this meeting with Secretary of State Pompeo. One of the Capitol police said, "You can't leave through the Capitol. There's an incident." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "Well, apparently the Capitol's been breached." I said, "By who?" And she said, "Trump supporters." I said, "Trump supporters? You got to be kidding me. These are the nicest people in the world." Later on, I found out what had happened. We've seen these same tactics occur in Minneapolis, in Portland, these professional helmets that they wear with gas masks, holding plastic shields and these Mary Poppins-like umbrellas that they use to smash windows and gain entrance. We've seen all this before in all of these riots. Now the interesting thing is they wanted to transfer the identity of the terrorists who've had this activity in Minneapolis and Portland to the identity of Trump supporters. That's a lie. The Trump supporters are not the angry agitators that have burned down American cities, and they were not the people who were showing up that day for good purposes who did this. Because I was there with these people. I don't for a moment believe that they were the ones that did this, but the left won, because in a coup, a lot of things happen. Psychological warfare is planned. Really, the final event that happened was the identity theft. They stole President Trump's identity for who he is, what he's accomplished. They stole the identity of Trump supporters and the prayer people and the patriots. They made us out to look like we were evil terrorists. None of that is true.
Some of the media, even including Fox News, was giving a false narrative. That doesn't help when supposedly conservative news such as Fox is given a false narrative, which they were.
Yes, I was in a member of Congress's office watching Fox. I couldn't believe it. With one eye, I was looking down at the Capitol and Independence Avenue, and with the other, I was listening to Chris Wallace yelling at the TV, "What is wrong with you? That is not true," or Dana Perino or mm-hmm. Donna Brazile. What they were saying was not what I observed when I was over there. And that's what was shocking, is that they were writing a false narrative even while the events were playing out. And I knew with my own eyes that it wasn't true.
Many did comment that there were agitators, that there could have been hundreds of agitators. I think Antifa is suspected as the primary agitator, stirring the pot. There were some clips. As a matter of fact, there are some pictures where you can see some of these folks, and some of them have a star and sickle tattoo on various places of their bodies. You know, I suspect these were the agitators. At the same time, there were some good people that seemed to be caught up in the emotion of the moment. And let me just play a clip of a young man. And he's one of the Trump supporters who got swept up in the emotion of the moment. And he said, "We feel so powerless and we've been betrayed by everyone. What are we supposed to do?" And as a result, he got swept along in the emotion of the moment.
As individuals, we're powerless. We've been betrayed by Congress. We've been betrayed by the judicial branch. We've been betrayed by our local government, our mayors. What are we supposed to do? God will judge us for what we did. I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, right? There's no judgment that stands against me. Perhaps I did something wrong. I tried to be as respectful as I could while I was in there, while still saying what I felt needed to be said. What were we supposed to do?
Yeah.
What are Americans supposed to do? No one will even listen to us. None of these people in Congress, none of these people, like, they just don't listen.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Can you hear me now? Yeah.
Michelle Bachmann, he's raising a legitimate issue here, because all he's saying is, people in Washington, will you listen to us? You don't. So we got pretty frustrated today, and this young man got caught in the flurry.
The young man is exactly right. I had that same conversation with members of Congress while the events were going on. And the member of Congress was saying, look, these people are right. Nobody is listening to them.
That's right.
Now, again, we condemn violence. I don't believe for one moment it was the Trump supporters that were doing the violence. This man apparently didn't do violence. He just walked in the Capitol. Mm-hmm. He wasn't supposed to, but he walked in the Capitol. There should be a completely different level of punishment for the people who committed the violence versus people who just went right. in and were swept along. That's a completely different matter. They shouldn't have to pay the penalty of the instigators. And I believe it's the same instigators who instigated and burned down Minneapolis and yeah. other cities. I think it's the same crew.
Broken Glass in Minneapolis is a peaceful protest. Broken Glass in Kenosha, Wisconsin, last summer was a peaceful protest. But in D.C., it's an outrage. There's certainly a double standard going on here. There are some in the Christian community who have commented on this, and I just find their comments a little bit perplexing, and maybe not so perplexing when you consider the source. Beth Moore, who is no supporter of Donald Trump, said about all of the activity, she said, I don't know the Jesus some have paraded and waved around in the middle of this treachery today. They may be acting in the name of some other Jesus, but that's not the Jesus of the Gospels. And then representative from Lifeway Christian Resources in Nashville, name is Aaron Earls, says, quote, we need to wrestle with why violent terrorists feel comfortable carrying Christian flags and Jesus Saves posters while fighting police and storming government buildings, close quote. That's just the perception of some who joined the bandwagon of condemnation. Again, a gross misperception of really what went on, at least according to your perception, Michelle, not the case.
Yeah, that's right. Their premise is that believers did this.
Yes.
And I would say that is absolutely not true, and that is not what happened. It was imposters who put on Trump clothing, who were the real agitators. And there were perhaps Trump people, maybe even some believers who got swept up and went in, but I don't for a minute believe that they were the agitators. That's the identity theft that happened.
Yes.
And this is extremely
yes.
important that your listeners understand this, because the Trump movement and the people who support Donald Trump had a very strong case they were making, so much so that more than half of the country believed that the election was stolen. That's a huge number of people. And so there was an effort to destroy the image of the people who support Trump and the real idea that our votes were stolen from us. That idea had to be quashed. Well, they did it perfectly. They stole our identity as legitimate inquiring patriots and prayer people, and instead they made us look like we were terrorists and like we were the ones that wanted violence. That's absolutely not true. And I think it's terrible. We're being divided now
yes.
in the body of Christ over this issue. What we need to do is follow truth and embrace truth. And I believe we need to know who actually did this. And when all is said and done, I believe that it will be proved that it's the same people who did Minneapolis and
okay.
Kenosha and Portland,
okay,
not believers.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio, and I have on the line from Virginia, we'll explain why she's in Virginia in a little bit, Michelle Bachman. Michelle represented Minnesota's 6th District from 2007 to 2015. She ran for President of the United States in 2012. She's a good friend of mine. She happens to headquarter in the Twin Cities, so she's currently serving at Regent University, and we'll explain that here in just a moment. And I have Michelle on, well, 3-4 times a year to give these kinds of updates. She's an activist, and she was active on January 5th and 6th in Washington, D.C., when, well, we had some turmoil, and that's an understatement. But honestly, as Michelle said to me about the event in Washington, D.C. on January 5th, 6th, it was like a family reunion. It was nothing like it was being portrayed in the media, even by conservative outlets, but that there were actually Trump supporters weeping, realizing they were being used. Why don't you explain what you mean by that, Michelle?
This has been a hard year, as we all know.
Yes,
2020
it has been
a terrible year. So after the crowning achievement is that our votes were stolen. We had voted for a certain way of life in the United States. We are ruled by the consent of the governed. This is the 400th anniversary of the Mayflower Compact,
right,
which gave our country ruled by the consent of the governed majority vote. We voted. More people voted for Donald Trump for president than anybody had ever voted for president before. I refer people to the GatewayPundit.com mm-hmm. for more information on all the evidences of voter fraud, the GatewayPundit.com. What we saw then is that there very likely was manipulation so that the people's vote wasn't certified at the end so that Donald Trump would have a second term as president. This was a legitimate concern that people had. And as was stated earlier, the courts didn't listen. Now the politicians weren't listening. What were people supposed to do? Well, again, they weren't there with the intention of violence. There were thousands of people there with the intention of prayer, mm-hmm. and they were, in fact, praying. I want to commend your audience. Your audience stepped up and prayed for this election. Many pastors opened their pulpit to encourage the congregation regarding what the Bible says about a believer's duty in prayer to vote for righteousness, to vote for the Bible. And here is the great news. According to George Barna, senior fellow at Family Research Council, his research shows the almost unbelievable number that of the 22 or 23 million Americans who are spiritually active and governmentally engaged, that probably includes most of your audience, 22 to 23 million, of that amount, 99% voted. That has never happened
amazing.
Before. Of that 99%, they voted 97% for Donald Trump. Donald Trump received 7.5 million more votes from evangelical Christians in 2020 than he did in 2016. And he got the highest number of votes from evangelical Christians ever in 2016. And 4 years later, 7.5 million more voted. Add to that Franklin Graham's march
right.
for repentance. Believers stepped up and did what they were supposed to do. For well over 6 months, believers have been regularly praying and fasting. And that's what I saw in Washington, D.C. on January 5th and January 6th. Believers fasting, praying, worshiping over this whole process. The whole trajectory of the moment, you could feel it, was positive and happy in the air. And then this event happened, this tragic, destructive moment when we saw, I believe, agitators run up, smash historic windows, gain entrance. And I will tell you, as a former member of Congress, it's hard to figure out the inside of the Capitol. It's really tough to figure it mm-hmm. out, to figure out where's the House chamber? Where's Nancy Pelosi's office? I had to have staffers take me there because I couldn't figure out where they were. That's true. And members of Congress have only been in session for 3 days by the time this event happened. You don't have people off the street randomly break and go in and know where to go, and Capitol Police wouldn't have stopped them along the way. That's a big place. They'd have to travel a lot of miles. We even saw a videotape of people breaking through, and Capitol Police did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they even opened some of the gates to let
that's
people
right.
in. It's just the oddest thing I've ever seen. But that's why it is my opinion this was a planned coup, an unlawful takeover of government, and they did it through psychological pressure tactics with members of Congress. It's a long story. What we saw was unbelievable. I believe that there was a satanic intent
yes.
involved in that day. But I also believe the positive is that leading up to this event, I think, was the greatest time of active worship by believers wanting to pursue righteousness in the United States through our government. So I want to commend them, and we need to trust the Lord on this and his sovereignty, because believers up to this point were doing what they were supposed to do. I saw it. They were fasting. They were praying. Mm-hmm. They were not the bad actors in all of this.
Yes, yes.
And so going forward, does that mean now we get out of government? We don't pray anymore. We don't fast anymore. We don't vote anymore. It doesn't mean that at all. That's what the left wants your audience to believe. Back away from government. Back away from being involved in our society. The left wins if we take that message. That would be the wrong message gleaned from all of this. In fact, it's just the opposite. Okay. I commend your audience. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. God will honor this. Although it looks like a failure right now, ultimately it isn't, because what it is we are a part of the Hebrews 11 mm-hmm. believers, mm-hmm. where we did what we were supposed to do. We looked forward to biblical promises. Even though we didn't see the fruition of it, we acted in faith the way that God wanted us to pray into righteousness and to act for righteousness. God will honor that.
A lot of these people, Michelle, that were partaking that day, these are folks that see us losing the country, losing to socialism, losing to communism, losing to globalism, to politicians who don't care about us on both sides of the aisle. We've been called terrible things, from deplorables. Mr. Biden has called us the dregs of society. I'm talking about conservatives now. You can only take some of that so long before you decide, well, I'm going to push back. So almost 1 million people came to Washington back on January 5th and 6th and decided to do exactly that, just express their right to peacefully protest and peacefully present another message. Then things spiraled out of control, and we're kind of discussing what happened. And I think, too, Michelle, and we can talk about this in my second half of the program here, because I need to take my midpoint break pretty quickly. I think the left was trying to extinguish the conservative movement, and of course they're not going to be successful. They may discourage us, but they will never completely silence you, myself, my audience, those that participated in this event back on January 6th. We're not going to give up. We're not going to put our tail between our legs and slink away. We're going to come back. I promise you, we're coming back for more. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
We love friendly feedback. Write us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You get our mail when you write to Jan Markell and Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In this age of uncertainty, false teaching, and fake news, we are so thankful you trust Understanding the Times Radio. We are pleased to be carrying Dr. Erwin Lutzer's new book, We Will Not Be Silenced, Responding Courageously to Our Culture's Assault on Christianity. You are probably weary of seeing our country being destroyed right before our eyes. Is there anything we can do? Erwin Lutzer offers an explanation and some ways to fight back. He notes that behind the destructive behavior in America is a Marxist agenda. Mobs are trying to not just tear down monuments, they are trying to destroy the very foundation upon which our nation was founded. All that is happening is carefully scripted. Find this book in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call our office Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. It will also be offered in our e- and print newsletters. Sign up online. Once we have wrapped our minds around the truths presented, we must not be silent.
Because I believe more than ever, we did exactly what we were supposed to do, and God is sovereign, and He is working in His plan. So we continue to keep our eyes on the true north. We speak truth to each other. We speak truth to others. And we follow the Word of God as we watch Him mark this out. And we thank Him that we get to walk in these days in truth.
We know you lead busy lives and can't always be by a radio. Remember that all programming in both its audio and video format is posted to our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. The video format is also posted to our YouTube channel and also his channel, Christian Television. We are so honored to partner with Michelle Bachman several times a year for timely updates. Here's the balance of today's program.
So if you want to understand the hatred, the real hatred, not just disagreement, but gut-level loathing and fear of Trump, in, say, New York or Washington or L.A., you got to understand that first. It's not really Trump. It's his voters. The new money class despises them. Trump didn't despise them, and that really was his secret in the end. He didn't have much in some ways, but Donald Trump did not judge his own voters. In real life, Trump actually ate McDonald's. That's true, and they knew it was true, and they were very grateful for it. And you'd be grateful for it, too, if everyone else hated you. Pretty soon, like 13 days from now, these voters, tens of millions of them, will not have Donald Trump to protect them. They won't have anyone. And unless the Republican Party decides to wake up and push back against the lies in progress and acknowledge the purpose of those lies, which is an unprecedented crackdown on the way you live, you will have no chance either.
And folks, there is an unprecedented crackdown on the way you live coming. It's called persecution. It's on the way. And we'll talk about it here. We'll talk about it in the next few minutes. We'll talk about it in the coming weeks. I've actually got a couple of pastors scheduled to talk specifically about some Christian persecution that's going to come our way thanks to this new administration. I'm referring quickly here to an article I have in front of me. We're going to return to Michelle here in just a second. And it's an article out of the Federalist. I referred to it earlier in the programming. 28 times the media and the Democrats excused or endorsed violence committed by left-wing activists. After excusing and ignoring riots from leftists all year, Democrats and their allies in the media are ready to condemn riots now that the turmoil has shifted to fit their narrative. This article goes on again to talk about Kamala Harris urged her followers to cover the rioters' bail here in Minneapolis. And I have a front row seat to what happened here in Minneapolis back in May of 2020. Harris encouraged her supporters last summer to donate to the Minnesota Freedom Fund, which provided bail money to the militant anarchists facing charges for setting fire to Minneapolis. Again, 5 miles of Minneapolis will never recover. It's burned to the ground. Never recover. Never. And many of those small businesses were minority owned. Chris Cuomo, who said that the protests were supposed to be peaceful? CNN's Cuomo showcased his ignorance on the First Amendment when he dismissed the idea that militant protests sweeping the nation in the aftermath of the George Floyd deaths were illegal. Please show me where it says protesters are supposed to be polite and peaceful, Cuomo demanded. MSNBC reporter described a fiery scene, and that would have been in Minneapolis, as mostly a simple protest. The Democratic National Convention refuses to condemn the riots. Democrats went through their entire online convention without condemning the epidemic of left-wing violence that engulfed the nation throughout much of 2020. I'm going to stop there, but you get the point. At one time, this seemed to be okay with the left wing. Suddenly, based on the incident that happened January 6th in Washington, D.C., now, of course, different story they are singing. I have on the line from Virginia, Michelle Bachman, who's with me for the hour. She was present in D.C. on January the 6th, actually 5th, 6th, because she was there in a prayer capacity a couple of days, and had a front row seat to some things that were, quite frankly, pretty tough to watch. She said to me that being with the various participants in the Trump rally for the one day anyway, it was like a family reunion, that these people were terribly abused. And you said to me, Michelle, this was a terrible thing to do to good people. And then you said to me that some folks now, Trump supporters, are being messaged by friends and relatives and others. Will you now renounce Donald Trump? How sad.
People are saying to Trump supporters, they're believing that their identity is that of a terrorist, that
yes,
somebody who would commit violence. That is exactly what the left attempted to do. This was planned, in my opinion. I believe it will be proven that it was planned because the left won by trying to rebrand who Trump supporters are. All year this year, like you spoke about in Minneapolis, with 5 miles of businesses burned down, America watched and rejected
yes,
the violent tactics of the left. And I believe they rejected those tactics at the ballot box, too. What the left couldn't take is the bad image that they had of being a bunch of thugs. So instead, they wanted to paint the Trump supporters as the thugs. That's what is the lie. President Trump didn't give a speech on January 6th, whipping people up, encouraging them to be a mob and commit violence. That did not happen. Just like I believe it will be proved that those who are the agitators, they acted and they used the same violent tactics that were used in cities that were burned down and agitated. It was the same tactics. You have never seen Trump supporters use those tactics, and I believe that Trump supporters did not use those tactics at the events of the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. I believe that that will be proven to be so. But what is lingering is a media narrative that this was Donald Trump that instigated this, and this was Donald Trump supporters who followed this. Now people all across America and the world are wanting Trump supporters to denounce Trump,
right,
just like his cabinet members that
That's
resigned
right.
and walked away. Facebook and Twitter removed President Trump. They removed him off of Instagram. He's been canceled by the media and by social media. Now people are being encouraged like a mob to come after Trump supporters and saying, denounce Trump. The whole thing is being whipped up into a frenzy like a mob. But we as believers have to act on truth. We have to keep our heads about us, and we have to act on truth. Nothing changed. President Donald Trump was one of the greatest presidents that we have had in modern time. When you look at the results of what he provided, a brilliant economy, protections for Israel, for believers, religious liberty protections, the regulatory reform in the United States is nothing more than legendary. Mm-hmm. Those are the facts. He had a remarkable presidency, and that is why you see Nancy Pelosi and the left and the media calling for his impeachment and for removal under the 25th Amendment. It will never happen. It's a PR move because they want to completely trash him. They want to trash his legacy, and they want to divide his supporters from him, and they want to divide us from our family
That's
and
right.
friends. To put us in a defensive posture to defend him as though we're defending violence. We condemn the violence because I believe the violence never happened from Trump supporters. Mm-hmm. It happened from the same agitators that burned down cities in America. That's the truth, and that's what we have to stand on, is that truth. And the sick thing is, all of the concerns that people were worried about with the courts not listening to us, the politicians not listening to us, we still haven't been listened to. Mm-hmm. And so people are more frustrated than ever. And where do we go? It's very demoralizing.
Let me ask you this. And by the way, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. If you just joined us, talking to Michelle Bachmann. She served Minnesota's 6th District from 2007 to January 2015. And she's been doing some very interesting things in the meantime. We still need to tell folks what your current assignment is, Michelle. But before we do that, I want you to address the issue here of what lies ahead in your political expertise. What lies ahead here under a Biden-Harris administration? Part B of my question is, what does a one-party rule mean going forward? And can there ever be a reliable election again?
Oh, you're asking some big questions. One-party rule means that there will unlikely be any checks and balances
yes.
or very little accountability on one party. That party is the Democrat Party, but it's not your grandparents' Democrat
right,
Party.
Right.
It's the party of Ilhan Omar, and it's the party of AOC. It's a very different party. It's a party that represents more a socialistic bent to it. And so I think what we're going to see, they've already indicated with papers that I think we will see persecution
mm-hmm.
in the very near future.
I'm glad you said that. We need to reference that.
And I want to encourage pastors to mm-hmm. start taking this up. In particular, one pastor who was persecuted was Andrew Brunson, mm-hmm. who was held against his will in Turkey. He was released from Turkey because of the help of President Donald Trump. And he has been trying to warn the church in America about persecution. He believes persecution is coming to the church, and we need to be prepared. And I think that that needs to be a focus. We will still serve God. We will still trust God. We will still believe in God. Just because the election was lost does not mean that we should not believe in God or believe that somehow God has failed us because we prayed for a different election result all year and we didn't get it. And now, in fact, we're seeing one-party rule. Times ahead may not be what we wanted. They may be very different from the America that we knew from before. But God doesn't change. His protection for us, his love and his care for us doesn't change. But you asked me the question, what will we see? I said persecution. I also believe that we're going to see an economy that won't work. We're going to see the left spend money like you have never seen money spent before. But we'll see increased taxes, and you'll see an economy that falls apart. And that means fewer jobs. That means, in all likelihood, runaway inflation. Very difficult times. I think that we're going to see the push toward digital currency this year, doing away with cash. I also think we'll be pushed into the vaccines, and I think we'll be pushed into the digital passport for vaccines. Mm-hmm. We could be limited on our travel internationally, certainly, but perhaps even domestically. These are all speculations. I don't know them to be true, but I do know from what's been put out so far, it looks like they will very clearly come after the church in terms of persecution, forcing the church to agree and embrace the LGBT agenda. It'll be interesting to see which direction the church goes.
And how about our relations with Israel?
I think that's also been very clear, that this will be, in all likelihood, an anti-Israel administration.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Certainly that's where the vice president-elect is coming from the appointments that we have seen so far. From the Biden administration, it has a very decided anti-Israel bent.
Well, that alone should be extremely troubling, obviously based on scripture, Genesis 12:3, etc. I couldn't agree with you more. The Obama-Biden administration was the most anti-Israel in my lifetime and possibly in Israel's short history. It's just staggering what that administration did to Israel. I think those days possibly are going to return. Michelle, I don't want time to get away before we ask folks to pray for you in your new assignment, because all of a sudden, and I got a call from you saying you're headed to Virginia Beach, Virginia, starting January 1st, and Regent University. Take 5 minutes and tell my audience what you're going to be doing and how they can pray for you.
Yes, it's a real difference, and it came out of nowhere, but I think that this is clearly a direction that came from the Lord's hand, and I am now the new dean of the Robertson School of Government at Regent University. It is a graduate school program to train the next generation of young men and young women in master's level graduate degrees to serve in government. We come from a very clear biblical worldview perspective. I believe that we are the premier graduate school of government in the United States, and we want to prepare people for service in government, whether it's serving internationally at the federal level, at the state level, at the local level, helping people with campaigns, learning how to campaign, but also learning the essence of government, what American government has been traditionally, what's the biblical perspective on governance, what is the truth of governance, what is the counterfeit of governance. And I think there is no other time than now to prepare a new generation to take up the torch of what the truth is for biblical governance. And that's where I am. I'm leading the Robertson School of Government. I'm the dean at Regent University in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And for those who would be interested in this school, most of our course offerings are online. So please contact the Robertson School of Government in Virginia Beach, Virginia for Regent University. We would love to talk to you more about enrolling in our graduate school. We have many different degrees, and we'd like to talk to you about that and help you with a biblical worldview of government.
Speaking of schools and education, I'm just going to read 3 paragraphs. This is a memo that was sent to teachers in Minnesota. This is immediately after the January 6th situation that happened in Washington, D.C. Might have been that night or certainly the next day. This is what was sent to the teachers in Minnesota. Just going to read a couple of paragraphs. It's very long. I'm not reading it all. I'm just reading some highlights. It says, tomorrow is not simply another day at school. Tomorrow is a day when kids need the opportunity to ask questions, to write about their anger, to ask why all these white people attacking the Capitol were not shot as they would have been if they had been black. Again, this is sent to teachers in Minnesota right after the January 6th incident in Washington. Goes on, tomorrow is not simply another day at school. Teachers will walk into classrooms or will turn on their Zoom screens and try to hold in check their own fury, disappointment, and confusion as they help 14-year-olds try to process what happened. They will have heard that Vice President Pence said that our Capitol was under unprecedented attack, while the president announced that the election was stolen. Goes on to say, older students should listen to Trump's video statement and then listen to Biden's video statement and discuss which one calms a nation and which one incites a nation. Goes on to say, I want our white students to wonder what would have happened if those rioters had been black. Again, this is a memo sent to all teachers in Minnesota. Younger students will wonder, will this happen here? Or why did they do this? I would want them to talk about how we should share our differences. I want them to know that there are far more good people than bad people, and that far more people share their disappointments with words rather than violence. And then it concludes, tomorrow is not simply another day at school. Don't expect it to be. Don't expect that you will know the answers to all their questions, because kids always ask the hardest questions. And it wraps up here. I would tell them over and over that good people have not disappeared. We're still here. We are listening to them, our nation's kids, because they will remember this day, and they are the ones that can make sure this happens never again. Tomorrow's not simply another day at school. You have had far too many of these days, dear teachers. Somewhere in you, you always find the heart, the courage, the compassion to set aside that lesson on sequencing or multiplying or the explanation of a cell and instead embrace their questions, their concerns, and their fears, and you give them what we all need the most, hope. So, Michelle, that was given to Minnesota teachers, I believe, on January the 7th.
That says to me that's another piece that points toward a coup.
Yes.
A coup is a hostile takeover of government. It's a planned takeover of government. I watched the speech in real time that Joe Biden gave. It was eloquent, very well lit, very well done. Imagine, this speech was like within 5 minutes of the whole event happening. Quotes from Abraham Lincoln. I mean, it was unbelievable how elegant this whole speech was done. You don't have a 25-year-old speechwriter pulling something like that together in 5 minutes and then rushing Joe Biden into a studio to put this thing out. Clearly, by utilizing this to every teacher in Minnesota, my guess is this went out to the departments of education. I wouldn't be surprised if it went out to all 50 states.
And probably.
And teachers in other states were getting this same level of propaganda, because what is it the teachers are being asked to do? Reaffirm the identity theft of the 74 million people in America who are legitimately asking, hey, was my vote stolen? I want to know, would you audit if my vote was stolen? I don't believe this was a true election result. Well, again, that was not only stopped, but it's identity theft of the people who supported Donald Trump, who I believe were the majority of voters in the United States. And our tax dollars and our public schools are being used to brainwash the minds of our children. And I would say this, just like communist China regularly brainwashes the minds of children to go along with what the regime wants, this is a form of brainwashing of little children with propaganda to rebrand, re-identify who the good guys are. And they're saying the good guys are Team Biden and the bad guys are anyone who goes along with Donald Trump. And again, maligning Republicans, conservatives, Christians as violent individuals when that did not happen.
That's why I wanted you on air as quickly as I could make that happen, because you had a front row seat to a lot of this. And you told me you interacted with a lot of the congresspeople there in Washington on January the 6th. What did they tell you? What are they looking towards this new year? And I'm speaking now politically. Granted, we sort of have a one-party rule, and that in itself is very discouraging. But you talk to a lot of your former colleagues. Are they looking forward to this new year optimistically, pessimistically? Are they encouraged? Are they discouraged? Tell me what some of them are thinking.
Oh, no, they're very pessimistic. They know completely what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. One thing about Democrats is when they get power, they use it.
Yes.
And they're going to use this power to consolidate their power. And in my estimation, we'll never have a free election again.
That's
my concern. Because I believe this was a fraudulent election. I believe it was a stolen election. And I believe what they will do is consolidate their power. They may institute not just mail-in voting nationally, they may institute internet voting, which is even more fraud. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But they certainly won't investigate Dominion voting machines, the software that was used, or how votes were manipulated. None of that will happen. I think what they'll do is they will grease the skids for the future so that all future elections will just deliver pre-planned results. And I think it'll be very demoralizing for people involved in elections in the future. But I think really what we're looking at very quickly will be a global governance.
Yes.
I think this is really more transitory.
Yes.
And I don't mean this disrespectful. I think they will be an irrelevant administration because I think we're just going to slide right into a Davos-style global governance. And I think that that's what 2021 will be about.
Yeah, and I've done programming the last 2 weeks on that on the World Economic Forum, The Great Reset. Folks, those two programs are on my website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. If you didn't hear them live, please go check them out. Michelle is dead right on. That's what's coming, is the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset, globalism, the one world government, the one world currency, all of that is hiding in plain sight. It's a roaring freight train on its way. Michelle, we have about 5 minutes left. Let's try to be, how do I say it? Let's try to end on an encouraging note. And as we talked privately on the phone, you reminded me that Daniel worked in a hostile government and he made it work. We have to do the same. And my listeners need to have a word of encouragement right now.
We do. It's really the most exciting time to be alive.
It is.
We've said this many times.
Yeah.
These are the days the prophets long to live in. And what we need to do is keep our heads about us and speak truth. It is extremely easy right now to get caught up in delusion and deception. And that's why turning off the mainstream media is imperative. It's not even just a well wish. It's imperative that we do that, and we need to find outlets that will tell us the truth. We need to understand the word more than we ever did. We're looking at Ezekiel 38 days that we're coming up into now, because very quickly we could see how the scripture said that all nations turn against Israel, that not one nation will help Israel. That's never happened in our lifetime. It very well could be true, even in this year, that America would be in that lot. We don't know how some of these events will be at hand, but I would encourage pastors, preach the word, especially what the word says about these days. It's remiss not to. Your congregation needs to know what's happening, not for the purpose of fear. We need to be well informed biblically so we know how to be in prayer. God rescues. God saves. And so we need to know how to be in prayer. I'm not discouraged today. I'm not disappointed today. I was here in the midst of all this. I gave my year to prayer and fasting.
Yes.
But I'm not discouraged, because I believe more than ever we did exactly what we were supposed to do. And God is sovereign, and he is working in his plan. So we continue to keep our eyes on the true north. We speak truth to each other. We speak truth to others. And we follow the word of God as we watch him mark this out. And we thank him that we get to walk in these days in truth. So speak the truth, walk in the truth, and look up, because his salvation draws nigh. It is not a time to be discouraged. It really isn't. It is a time to say, thank you, Father. May you find me faithful. And that's what we need to do. And then recognize that as we may be moving toward persecution, we need to learn how to live in these times, because God will use us in this hour.
Amen.
And that is a blessing.
Very well said. Michelle referred there to Ezekiel 38. Very, very interesting passage she referred to. Ezekiel 38, 39, the Gog-Magog invasion of Israel. And the thing that's intriguing about that verse is that Israel is all alone. No nation, America's not there to step in. Donald Trump, a great friend of Israel, not there to step in and protect Israel from this Gog-Magog invasion. In other words, there needs to be an administration in the United States that's not going to be friendly to Israel. We have that administration entering, as I speak, the Gog-Magog invasion again. Intriguing passage of scripture. We talk about it here sometimes on Understanding the Times Radio. read up on it, Ezekiel 38:39. Michelle, thank you again for all you do. Thank you for coming on air. And this was thrown together so hastily because things happened so quickly. You were in Washington. You're traveling back to Virginia. And I'm so glad you made time for the programming today. My audience always tells me, and the emails always say, our favorite guest of yours is Michelle. So thank you for joining us, Michelle.
Thank you, Jan. Thank you for being so faithful to encourage and speak the truth to the body of Christ.
Let me go out just saying, and I've said it many times, God is shaking us up, trying to wake us up so that we will look up. Folks, believers are aliens in a foreign land. This world is not our home. I mean, that's not just an old hymn that was sung in the 1970s. It's truth. God wants us to keep our thoughts on things above. Things of this world just drag us down. But we pray for all those in authority that you would give them your wisdom and discernment as they lead, Lord. And we ask that you would appoint strong, faithful men and women to serve this nation. And again, we pray that for your great healing on our land, shine your face on us, dear God. We need you now more than ever before. Our times are in your hands. I want to thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Write us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Jan Markell at Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Prayer support is just as essential to us as is financial support. The Bible said the last days would be perilous and that we would be disheartened by the character of mankind. We encourage you to draw closer to the one who will never let you down, the God of the universe who loves you more than anyone can. And remember that as you see troubling headlines, know that everything is falling into place.